We begin the Gemara on Daf Masech Tzivam is Daf Nun Gimel. We begin four lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous Daf. That is, the Gemara had quoted from our Mishnah regarding the case of, as we said, that the previous Mishnah was discussing all the different computations that can happen with the four variables that applies to Yavama. They be Chalitza, Get, Yibum, and Maimer. Now, one of the cases was that if you start off with Chalitza, then even if you do afterwards Maimer or Get, or Bia, whatever it is, the Mishnah had said, Inacha Chalitza Klum. Nothing can take effect after the Chalitza, which the Gemara, Rabbi Huda, Merav, had qualified, saying that's the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva holds that Kedushin is not Tefes Bechiv Alavin. Once you do Chalitza to a Yivama, she becomes a negative prohibition of Shudla Yivna. Once you started not building, you can't build anymore. So since she's a Chiv Alav, now the Kedushin of Bia or Maimer would not be Tefes afterwards. But the Chachamim, they hold Yesh Acher Chalitza Klum. Actually, they would argue on that halacha of our Mishnah, and they would hold that since it's only a negative prohibition, Kedushin would be Tefes, and hence that there would be a Chalois of the Bia or the Maimer afterwards in the Kedushin. Now, on that, the Gemara quote of Braisa, that Rebbe qualified in this opinion of the Chacham who argue on this opinion of our Mishnah, which is really Rebbe Kiva, and they hold Yesh Acher Chalitza Klum, she's only negative prohibition, so other Kedushin could be Chal. And that Rebbe said that I say that's only Bizman Shekitru L'Shem Ishes. If this post-Chalitza Kedushin was done with the intention of it being like what one does Kedushin for a regular woman. But if the Kedushin was L'Shem Yavmas, if his intention was to follow up on what a normal Yavama is, that you can do Kedushin with her, either, in other words, through Maimer or with a Bia, and that's his intention, and that is where he says that, no, even the Chacham's opinion would agree, and that's what Rebbe's opinion is, then even there, Chalitza no Kedushin after Chalitza would accomplish anything. Where the Gemara then quotes another Braisa that says, but the Chachamim argue on Rebbe's qualification, and they hold it doesn't make a difference. And it seemingly it shouldn't make a difference. Kedushin is Tefes and Chiv Alavin. What's the difference what your intention was? If it was for the intention of it to be like a regular woman, where if you have a negative prohibition type of a woman, which is what a Chalutza is to the Chalitz, that is just a lav of Leivna, that Kedushin is Tefes, or if you're doing it with the intention of being L'Shem Yibum, but be that as it may, you're doing a Kedushin, and therefore they hold in all circumstances, yesh ach chalitza klum. And Rabbi holds that, no. It's only if your intention was to do it for, like a regular woman, kedushin ba'alma. But if you're doing it because she's the yavama, and you're basing it on that, that once you do chalitza, there's no more of that. And hence, the kedushin of, even though kedushin is tevitz chiv alav, and here that kedushin, it will not affect anything because she's not a yavama, and hence, there would not be anything ach chalitza in that type of situation if you're doing it l'shem yavam. Now, on that, the Gemara had quoted three interpretations on the previous daf. What's the understanding of Rebbe that he makes this differentiation regarding what the Kedushin of this Isser Lav of the Chalutza is, if it's going to be L'Shem Yavman or L'Shem Kedushin? And what's the understanding of the Chacham who argue on that? And our current daf continues with another three interpretations in Rebbe's opinion in his argument with the Chachamim. In the Chacham's opinion, there are two chacham. There's a chacham in that argue on Rabbi Kiva in general regarding if yesh acher chalitza klum or not. And then there's qualifying their opinion, which Rebbe holds that would only be kedushin l'shem kedushin l'shem yavmin. And then there's a chacham that argue on Rebbe in that qualification that no, there's always acher chalitza klum no matter what. So on that, our Gemara quotes another three interpretations for a total of six interpretations in this machlokes Rebbe and the chachamim and how to qualify yesh acher chalitza klum. So Rav Shravi Amr, he says, again, regarding this interpretation of Rebbe that yesh acher chalitza klum is only when it's not kedushin l'shem yavmin. So he says as follows, he says, b'chalitza k'shera, regarding when one does a full-fledged chalitza, meaning, let's say it's the first thing that's done, a totally valid chalitza, then ida amar lo hiskach libizik is yavmin, then if he tells the chalutza, I want to make a kedushin in you with the zika bond that there is inherently between the yavmin and the yavama. On that, Rav Shravia says, everybody would agree, even the Chacham who argue on Rebbe, that would not work. And the reason is because this is based on the principle of Yesh Zika. And now, the Chalitza that was done already removed the Zika. And since you're basing the whole Kedushin on the Zika's Yavmin, once that was removed, because you did Chalitza, then of course Kedushin cannot be Tevis afterwards. But here the machlokes is regarding what's called a deficient chalitza. For example, if let's say you first gave her a get, and then you gave chalitza. Now that's called deficient chalitza, because if you had wanted, you could not have done yibum then, because you already gave a get. It was already some type of a rabbinic shuvla yivne. And we know that a chalitza is only if I yibum. So it's a deficient chalitza. That is the machlekes between Rebbe and the Chachamim in this qualification, if here you would say yesh ha-chalitza klum. That is Marasav, Rebbe holds chalitza besula peteres. A deficient chalitza, even though it's not the best chalitza because it's coming after a get, it still totally exempts and removes the zika, and hence, of course, a new kedushin cannot work because you're basing on zikas yavmin. Umarasav, the Rabbanon held chalitza besula ena peteres. A deficient chalitza cannot totally exclude the whole and remove the whole chalit, the whole zika, and since it doesn't totally remove it, so there's still something left over, and therefore maimer could still go ahead and take effect, even if you're doing it l'shem zikas yavmin, because again, it's a deficient chalitza, as we've seen this topic in throughout Masechtas Yavam, is that regarding if a chalitza psula is something that you could just do one chalitza psula and not take care of everything, or that we say, no, like tzricha lachzar kala achen, all the brothers have to do something. It's not the best. It still retains some zika, and that's why the Chacham would argue in Rebbe and hold that you can still go ahead and do maimer on top of that chalitza. A fifth interpretation, Rav Asher, he says, the kuli alma, everybody in this machlek is between Rebbe and the Chachamim, they hold note, chalitza psula ena peteres. And that's how the Gemara has been going from the previous daf through these daf and basing on the previous interpretations and saying that what you're saying is actually everybody agrees to. And that is, he's saying, regarding what the Rav Shravia had been saying, regarding a deficient chalitza, everyone agrees ena peteres, it would not exempt, and that would be even according to Rebbe, and therefore there would be some zika left over. But v'hacha, here we're actually talking about a full-fledged chalitza, a chalitza kasher. But b'yesh t'nai b'chalitza k'mefliga, they're arguing regarding if there's such a concept as having conditions, a conditional chalitza. For example, he says, look, you're bound to me. I could do what I want. If you give me 200 zuz, I'll do chalitza. I'll let you marry the man that you want to marry. Now, on that, the Gemara says, Mar Savar, the Rabban held, yesh t'nai b'chalitza. There is such a halacha of making conditions in the chalitza. And therefore, as long as she doesn't fulfill the conditions inherent in what the chalitza was based on, and then the zika wasn't removed yet. And therefore, if she didn't fulfill them yet, and then he says, I want to be mekadesh with these monies on the zika's yavmin, then there would be a kinyan because the zika is still here, because although he gave chalitza, and that's what we're saying, doing maimer after chalitza, still yesh ha-chalitza klum, because the zika wasn't removed yet, because she didn't fulfill the condition yet. Whereas Amar Savar, Rebbe holds, ain't t'nai b'chalitza, there's no such halacha of that a condition can be effective in the effectiveness of a chalitza. And therefore, even if she doesn't give him the money, the condition will not affect anything. Therefore, it is a chalitza. And that's why he says that the maimer would not take effect if you're using the terminology of zikas yavmin afterwards, because the zika was already removed, and if you're basing on zikas yavmin, there is none of that left. Hence, that kedushin which you're using through the modality of zikas yavmin will not take effect. Finally, the sixth interpretation of the Gemara is Ravina. He says no. The kol yama yesh tnai b'chalitza. Everybody agrees that you can make a condition in the chalitza. And that's as Rashi explains, in spite of the fact that the Gemara later on, Daf Kovav and Muralfa, explains that a mistaken chalitza, it will work, and that is to say that you cannot make a condition. But these Tanoim, obviously according to Ravina, holds that there is no such halacha, and that you could make conditions in the chalitza. But v'hacha b'tanai kofak emefka. Here what they're arguing about is regarding the halacha, if do you have to make a double condition in your t'nai? And here we're talking about that the person only made one half of the condition, didn't make a double type of condition. And that is Mar Savar, Rebbe holds, be'ina t'nai kafel, you need to make a double condition. Now this is what's known as the condition that was by B'nei Gadim and Reuven, when they wanted to go and take the other side, Eivah HaYarden, and not taking part of Eretz Yisrael. So there it was written in the Torah in a double way, that if you do this, then yeah, and if you don't do, then not. And here, in this case, it wasn't doubled. In other words, the double would be that if you give the money, then it'll be chalitza. If you don't give the money, then it won't be chalitza. And therefore, in this situation where they didn't make a double type of a condition, so hence it's not a full-fledged condition, hence it will not prevent that when one does not fulfill the condition of the chalitza taking effect. In other words, yes, everyone agrees you can make conditions. But if you didn't make a double condition, well, that's not, doesn't fulfill the halachas of conditions. It's actually requirements in how you make it tonight. And since Rebbe holds you needed tonight kafla and you didn't, so then the condition is like you didn't make one. And therefore, the chalitza is final and removes the zikas yavman. And that's why you can't do maimer afterwards. But the Chacham held that you don't need to make a double condition, and therefore here where you only made one-sided condition, that's enough, and therefore that will prevent the effectiveness of the chalitza until you fulfill the condition, and that's why they hold that the maimer and the bia afterwards will take effect out of the chalitza, because the zikas yavmin is still around. Those are the six interpretations and how to understand Rebbe's opinion that he qualifies that even if you say yesh hachalitza klum, it's only when you do it l'shem kedushin and not l'shem yavmin. We had different interpretations. What does it mean l'shem yavmin? As we just finished off over here, it's not even that the difference between yibum and kedushin. It was in this sub-specific type of a case of making a t'nai, and they're arguing about do you need a t'nai kafel or not. Nothing more continues quoting our Mishnah that was speaking about these halachas about chalatz. If the first thing that you do is chalitza, and then vasa maimer or v'nasa get or ubal, you do one of the other three variables after you first give chalitza. So then v'chulu, then as the Mishnah says, einach chalitza klum, it doesn't make a difference what you do afterwards, nothing will have any effectiveness. Chalitza severs the bond. Now it's like there's nothing going on over here between the yavam and the yavama. Now that the Gemara asks, as we had alluded to this in the Mishnah, but v'nisni nami einach rabia klum. What happens is that there's two cases there in the Mishnah. And they're essentially the same type of halacha, because we go through the four variables. We go through what happens if you do maimer first and then all the other variables. What do you do if you get first and then the other ones? And there is some effectiveness after maimer and get, because they're only rabbinic. But by chalitza and bia, they have finality to them. So on that, the Mishnah says that there's nothing after those two things. If you do chalitza first or bia first, that's it. It doesn't make a difference what you do afterwards, chalitza or get or the maimer, doesn't make a difference. Now, the Gemara's question is, why is it when it quotes the case of chalitza, it doesn't say what the real halacha is, then it quotes the case of doing bia first, and it doesn't say einach bia klum, it says einach chalitza klum, going back on the first case. The Gemara's question is, why it should also say einach bia klum. So that the Gemara answers, Abaye v'Demetavayu, both of them actually said, Tanei, you should actually learn in our Mishnah, einach bia klum, that on the last case that the Mishnah quotes over there, that you're right, there's nothing after bia. Now, but then the question is that you're not saying einach chalitza klum. On that, the understanding is that you wouldn't have to say einach chalitza klum, because once the Tanna is saying einach bia klum, the same halacha would apply with einach chalitza klum, and it's just easier, you just have to pick one of the two, because essentially they're saying the same halacha. However, the Gemara explains that Tanna Didan, the Tanna of our Mishnah, who did not say bia, and that is, although that's the last case it's going on, and then it quotes that halacha, going back on both the case of chalitza and bia, is because hataras yavam malushruk adifale. They preferred to say, in reference to the first case, although it's saying it after the second case, regards to chalitza, because that's more endearing, because it's something of a heter. It allows her to marry all the people in the world to say that the chalitza is final, and that's why it prefers to say that. Now, from that, you'll understand if einach chalitza klum, then einach bia klum. Now, as Rashi explains, it was considered a tircha for the Tanna of our Mishnah to say both, that einach bia klum and einach chalitza klum. He felt it was unnecessary to be repetitive, and therefore he only said one of them, which Abaye and Rabbah said really should have said einach bia klum, because that's the case that's going on, and then you'd understand einach chalitza klum also. But the reason why actually the Girsa of our Mishnah says einach chalitza klum, because it preferred to say in reference to a bigger heter, allowing her to all the people in the world, in contrast to the case of bia, which is einach bia klum, which is only for the yavam. And the Mishnah continued and said that these halachas that we spoke about what it is that you do first and then doing other things, is echad yavama achas, is whether it's with one yavam and one yavama, which is what the beginning of the Mishnah had been speaking about, when you're doing one thing first and then doing all these other things to that same yavama. And the same thing is echad shtei yavamas. Same thing applies to when you have one yavam with two yavamas, with two of them. That the same thing would apply, that if you do, let's say, maimer to one, and then they get to the other one, it's going to be the same halacha. If one will take effect, it's not just in the same yavama, but even with the other yavama. Now, that the Gemara tells that Masnitin, our Mishnah, that says, Achashte Yevamas, that the same halacha would apply, let's say, if you do a maimer in this one, and then a maimer in the other one, that you're going to need two gittin, is delikhi benazir. It's not like benazir. It's not like in the brayse benazir. He says, yes, he agrees to the halacha of our Mishnah that there would be the effectiveness of one maimer after another one. But he says it's only b'shnei yavam and b'yavam achas. It's only, as we had taught in the previous daf, when you have two yavams and one yavama, where there he holds that each one gets their shear of what a maimer could do. So although one brother did it, but he could still also do a maimer, and therefore they're both going to be forbidden to our relatives. But he said, v'ei maimer acha maimer, but it's not true, you're not going to have effectiveness of one maimer and another maimer after that, b'shnei yavamas v'yav mechad. When there's two yavamas, and one Yavim, because whatever that one Yavim has in his power of Maimer, he already used up on the first one, and therefore it's not like our Mishnah who says the same thing would apply even by two Yavamis and one Yavim, and therefore obviously our Mishnah is not like Benazir. Now the Mishnah continues as Ketzad. So when we had been saying these cases of all the different variables in regards to one Yavim, one Yavama, how does this apply, let's say, when it's one Yavim to two Yavamas? So that the Mishnah said, Maimer lezuf, let's give a Maimer to one, and then b'chulu, and then so on. So now the Gemara is going to be discussing regarding the case of when you give a maimer to one, and then you do a chalitza to the other one. So that the Gemara says, lema, let's say, from the fact that it doesn't say you do the chalitza to the one you already gave maimer to. It's only saying that you're giving maimer, you're doing chalitza to the other one. That's the case that it talks about. If you do maimer to one, and then you do chalitza to the other, yavama, so then it continues and says what Allah is going to be. But why does it say like that? Why doesn't it say that you did chalitza to the same one that you had given maimer to? So now the Gemara says, let's say, Misayel Lishmul, that supports Shmuel. Damar Shmuel Kishmuel said, Cholas Labailas Maimer, if you do chalitza to the one you had given maimer to, Loi Nifter Tzarasa, that chalitza will not exempt her co-wife. And the reason is because since you need a get for that maimer, because you to remove her chalitza is not enough, so therefore that's not what's called an optimum type of a chalitza, to thus exclude and remove the Zika of our friend. Because you see that this chalitza is not doing everything. It's not great. You still need a get to remove this woman. So hence, it's not going to be exempting her co-wife. And here you see the same halacha from our Mishnah, where it doesn't say chalitza to the same one that you give a maimer to. It specifically says to the other one, and that chalitza will work for all of them. And then you'll need a get for the first one's maimer. But I had to say it that way, because if you gave chalitza to the first one, that wouldn't exempt the chalitza for the other one. And then you would need, not only if you gave a chalitza to the first one and that you need to get far, you'll actually need another chalitza for the second one. And moreover, to you have to Rav Yosef. So not only would it be supporting Shmuel, it would actually seem like a refutation of Rav Yosef's halacha. He says, on previous on Daf Memdal Medalf, he says halacha that a person should not spill out the water from his pit if others need it. In other words, if let's say that there's one woman that's already pasul to kahuna, one is kshera, you should do the chalitza to the one that's pasul, because she's already pasul and chalitza is not going to do anything more. But if you know chalitza to the kshera, you're going to make both of them invalid. Now the problem is that over here, where you have one that's a balas maimer, and the other one that nothing was ever done to, and now Mishnah is saying that you did chalitza to the second one, and then the first one is going to need a get, comes out that they're both going to be pasul from kahuna, and it doesn't say in our Mishnah that the chalitza should be done with the first one, and then the second one will maintain her kashas for kahuna. So the fact that it says you're doing chalitza to the second one seems like a refutation of Yosef's halacha. Nothing more says no, it doesn't support Shmuel, and it doesn't refute Rav Yosef. Because mikitani chalitz, does our Mishnah say that if you had given maimer to one, that then you should give chalitza to the second one, and then the halacha will be that you'll need a get to remove the maimer the first one? It doesn't say that. It says cholat katani. If that's what he did, it's in the past tense. If he gave a maimer to one and a chalitza to the second one, the eved, if that's what he had done, then the halacha will be as follows, that the chalitza of the second one will work for all of them, and the first one will require a get for that maimer. But, however, it really could be not like Shmuel, that maybe if you did chalitza to the baal's maimer, it would exempt the second one. And also, it would not refute Rav Yosef, and the halacha would be that you should do chalitza to the one that had been given the maimer and not do it to the second one to make both them possible. Now, the Mishnah also said, get lezuva chulu. If you give a get to this yavama and you give a get to this yavama. So the Mishnah said, tzriches heimenu chalitza, that you need to have chalitza from these two women, because a get is something that removes it, so you have to continue removing, but it's not a total removal, so you still need chalitza. Now, the Gemara's inference from this is that it says in the plural tzriches in our Mishnah, sounds like each one needs chalitza. So the Gemara says, Le misayelil rabbi bravuna, the Amar rabbi bravuna, that he says, and we quoted this on the previous daf, says chalitza pesula. says, wherever you have a deficient chalitza, where that both of them are going to be deficient, and the reason is because once you give a get to each one of them, you can't do yibum anymore because you already started lo yivna, and therefore that makes the chalitza deficient because, again, chalitza is only considered ma'alya if you could have done yibum. And there, Rabbi Avuna says, Tzricha lachzar kol ha'achin, then it's not enough for one brother or one yivama to get the chalitza. You have to go ahead and all the brothers go ahead and do chalitza because one of theirs chalitza will not work because it's considered chalitza psula. And yet still over here we see that, and that's the same idea that we see in our Mishnah, that tzricha is chalitza. So you see the same type of halacha, that both of them are going to require chalitza because each one is a deficient chalitza. Just like his halacha was with the brothers, here it's with the yivamas, that each one's going to require her own chalitza. I think Mar says, no, it's not a raya. Because my tzrichas, what does it mean when you use the plural of that he needs chalitza from them? It means tzrichas di alma, means in general halacha. Whenever you have a situation like this, which is a plural type of a context, then you're going to require chalitza, but the truth could be, maybe not like Rabbi Ravuna, and they're doing chalitza to one of them, of that each one had a get, would work and suffice for the other one. Now the Mishnah said, get lezu v'cholatz lezu. That's you give a get to one yavama, and then a chalitza to the other yavama. As we said, that we're now in the next phase of the Mishnah, which is talking about when you have one yavam and two yavamas. So on that, the Gemara says, similar to as it wanted to infer before, the same type of a discussion, lema, let's say, from the fact that it said that you're giving the get to one and the chalitza to the other one, and it didn't say you give the chalitza to the one that you had given the get to, just rather to the other one, let's say again, it supports Shmuel again that he had said in Perek Dalet Achen that you do chalitza to the Baal Saget, that will not exempt the co-wife. Again, for the same idea, is because it's a chalitza psula. You could not have done yibum, so that would not exempt her co-wife. That's why our Mishnah is saying you do chalitza with the second one, which that would work for everyone. And that should also refer to Rav Yosef, because what's coming out, if you do chalitza with the second one, you're making both of them pas lakuna. You should do it to the one that's possible anyway, which is the Baal Saget. But the Gemara says, as I said before, Mikitah Nechalitz, does it say that if you gave a get to one, that then you should give a chalitza to the second one, and then that will work? Chalitz Ketani, it says that if you did this, you gave a get to one, and you gave a chalitza to the other one, did you have it after the fact? The halacha will be, as the Mishnah tells, but doesn't say necessarily that that's the way it has to be to do the chalitza with the second one. Then the Mishnah continued, chalatz v'chalatz. Let me give chalitza to one yevama and a chalitza to the other one. Oy chalatz v'chulu, or you give chalitza to this one and you did maimer or get or be with the other one. Either way, the Mishnah tells us in ach chalitza klum. Once you give chalitza with the first one, there's nothing to talk about. The second one, whatever you're doing with it, will not have any effectiveness. It will not make you aser and her relatives. Whatever the halacha is going to be. Now that the Gemara asked, as we had mentioned previously on this amid, but listening nami in ach biyaklum, just like we asked regarding the first half of the Mishnah, which was talking about one Yavma, one Yavama, where there it goes through Maimer, Get, Chalitza, Yibum, what's the halacha when you do one with the Yavama and then you do all these other things with her? It only says in Enach Chalitza Klum. Here when we're talking about one Yavma and two Yavamas, which is the next phase of the Mishnah, here also, why doesn't it mention in the Seifa, Ein Acher Bia Klum, which after it says when you do Chalitza, and then with the other one, Chalitza or Maimer or Yibum, all the other things, here it says, if you do be with one, and then be with the other one, or be with one and mine with the other ones, then that's what we're going on here at the Seifa, where it doesn't apply to say, Einach HaChalitza Klum, because there's no Chalitza at all. Why doesn't it say, Einach HaBia Klum? So that the Gemara says, Abayi Ramat Damat Havayi, they both say, you're right, Tanei Einach HaBia Klum, you should learn, really what the Mishnah is saying over there, that you should insert that there's nothing after Bia. However, Tanda Didan, Hatar Zivam L'Shog Adifa, he prefers to say the halacha, since it's not going to repeat in a chalitza klum, in a chabia klum, because it's the same halacha, and it's the same idea, so it only picks one. It picks the one, although it's going on the last case, which is Bia, to go back on the first case of chalitza, because it prefers to say how it permits her to the whole world to marry, and therefore it says in a chalitza klum. Then after the Mishnah went through phase one of talking about one Yavam and one Yavama, then it said phase two of one Yavam and two Yavamas, Mishnah then continues and says, Ben Yavam Echad L'Shtei Yavamas, V'chulu. Again, this halacha applies not only between one Yavam and one Yavama, it even applies with one Yavam and two Yavamas. And it even continues and says, even with two Yavam and one Yavama. Now, another thing I want to ask as follows. Bishlem Rabbi Yechanan, we could understand our Mishnah's necessity for the halachas that it says, according to Rabbi Yechanan. The Amad that he says, Kula Besam, the whole extended family. Again, there was one unit that was a husband and a wife. The husband dies without any children. Now, there's the rest of his wives, and there's the rest of his brothers. So, Rabbi Yechina holds that all the brothers, regarding the chalutza and the co-wives, are only belavkoi. He holds that the halacha is that everybody, not only the chalits, will have that regards to all the yevamos, will only have halacha of a negative prohibition once chalitza was done, because the brother that actually does chalitza is just a messenger for everybody, and the yevamin that receives it is just a messenger for all the rest of them. So they're all not eshes ach, because that was removed with the process of chalitza, but it's just a negative prohibition of shuv leyivne. So therefore, according to him, we understand very well, itzuch lashmina was necessary to say in our Mishnah, the halacha of that if you do chalitza with one, and then you do maimer in another one, that it's not taking effect, because although all she is for everybody is a negative prohibition of shuv leyivne, that the Mishnah is teaching us to in kedushin types of mechiyev alavin. That's a chiddush. It's telling us that kedushin will not take effect even if it's just a negative prohibition, where our Mishnah is anonymously stating, like Rabbi Akiva's opinion, which the same thing would apply when you have two yevamim with one yevama, is the same idea, the same chiddush. But El Rish Lakish, the Amma, but according to Rish Lakish, that he says in the first paragraph of Yudim Ebeis, that Kula Beis, Bekariskoi, actually the whole entire house, besides the chalitz, that one brother does chalitza and the chalutza, but everybody else, in other words, let's say the chalitz regarding the co-wives, or all the brothers, whether regarding the chalutza or the tzar, will have a lach of karis, because only those that do the chalitza themselves, they're the ones that have lo yivna. But everybody else goes back to the original negative prohibition of eishes ach, that's karis. So why was it necessary for our Mishnah to state the case of two yevamas and one yavam, and two yevamim and one yevama, where the second maimer will not be toifis after the chalitza? What do you mean? Itzuch lashmina de in kedushin teves mechiyev krisis. Was it necessary for us to teach you the halacha that kedushin will not be teves by a karis type of a punishment? There, almost everybody agrees that kedushin is not teves. Why would it be necessary to say that case when you have one yavam and the second yavama? For him, the second yavama is a chiyev karis. Of course, kedushin, in other words, maimer that after chalitza will not be teves. So I'm like, Shlager would answer you. Wait a second. Utameich, according to your reasoning that you think it's so good, according to Rabbi Yechanan, well, then Seifa, the next phase of the Mishnah, that talks about when you have two Yevamim, two males, and one Yevama Diktani, that we learned there in one of the cases, that if Baal, if the first one does Bia, Vasa, and then the second one goes ahead and does Mimer, in other words, we have two Yevams and one Yevama, so one does Bia in her, and the second one goes ahead and does a Mimer with her. Itzuch lashmina de in kedushin teisin peishas ish. Was it necessary to say that case that there's nothing going to be after bia? In other words, in the case of when you do maimer after bia, what do you mean? Once the first brother does bia, that's full-fledged acquisition of yibum, and she's like his wife. Of course, the maimer in the eishas ish in the married woman is not going to take effect. So Ella, rather, what do you have to say? I did it tana hataras yavim echad v'yavam achas. Once that case was necessary, when you have one yavam with one yavama, which even according to Rish Lakish, that halacha of having maimer after chalitza was necessary to say that you can't have maimer after chalitza, even that is, and that's the chiddush over there, where although with one yavama, that same chalitza with chalitza, there's only negative prohibition of lo yivne, still we have to say that it's not going to take effect because that's telling you stoma is like Rabbi Kiva. Therefore, it's not a difficulty, because even according to you, you see that there was some unnecessary of these cases in the later phases when you have two yavam and then one yav and one yavama, where of course there's no necessity to say the case of, let's say, maimer achar bia, because of course that's eishes ish, but it was necessary for the previous cases, and therefore the same thing applies to me, where although your question is, of course, this halacha of one yavam and two yavamas, or two yavam and one yavama is unnecessary. But once we said it regarding the halacha of one yavam and one yavama, so tani nami shtei yavamas v'yav mechad. So therefore, we also then continued and said just that the same halachas apply when you have two yavamas and one yavam. And va'aydi detani shtei yavamas v'yav mechad. Once we said that case of two yavamas with one yavam, tani nami shtei yavaman v'yavama achas. So agav, then we already said that the same halachas would apply with two yavaman and one yavama. Although you're right, there would be no necessity for that case to explain regarding having kedushin not taifas, because according to Rish Lakish, it's actually chiyuv krisis, which almost everybody agrees kedushin is not taifas and chiyuv krisis. And the Gemara continues on Amud Beis, and says, quoting from our Mishnah, now, as Rashi explains, this is actually going back on the first phase of our Mishnah, which was when you have one Yavam and one Yavama, because as the Gemara just concluded saying, that the, at least according to Rish Lakish, that was the only halachas that were necessary to say, because those were the Chidushim. The rest were just said, you know, parenthetically, the ones we're talking about, that this halacha would apply to one Yavam and one Yavama. So we say it would also apply when you have two Yavamas or two Yavamin, but the main Chidushim were in the case of Yavam Echad and Yavama Achad. So there, the Mishnah says that Chalatz, if let's say the Yavam, this one Yavam does Chalitza to that Yavama, and then Vasa Maima, or he does, then afterwards he does a Maima with her, or Benasin B'chula, or he gives a Get, or something else after that. And that the Mishnah says, Einach Chalitza Klum, nothing can take effect. And this Yavama, once you do Chalitza, it's over. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, Bishlam Chalitza Vasa Maima, we understand where if you first do Chalitza with her, and then you do Maima with her, so Itzrich, it was necessary for the Mishnah to say that there's nothing in Achar Klum, that the Maima will not take effect. Now, why was that necessary to say? Because I would have thought to say that even according to Rabbi Kiva, who says, of course, Maimer can take effect because it's a Chiv Alav, and he's the opinion of a Mishnah holds that Kedushin cannot be taken as a Chiv Alav, but maybe you would think that there would be some effectiveness to that. And because Nigzer Maimer Debasa Chalitza, maybe we should make a Gzeira of a case when, this case, when you have Maimer after Chalitza, that we should require a get for that Maimer, not because intrinsically, because that's Kedushin is not taken as a Chiv Alav, but because of Atu Maimer Dekamei Chalitza, because maybe people are going to confuse it in a case of when you have Maimer before the Chalitza, where there the halacha is, that you actually need a get for that Maimer, because then the Chalitza afterwards is not able to remove that Maimer, because Chalitza only removes Zika, not Kedushin. Kamash Malon, Dolei Kezrin, that's the Chiddush of our Mishnah, that why we're telling you, Chalitza Vasa Maimer, that it's not going to take effect, that we don't make such a gezer. However, the question of the Gemara is, El Chalitza V'nosin Get, but in the case of when it tells you if you do chalitza with that yavama, and then afterwards you give a get to that same one yavama, lamali, what was the necessity of saying that? What would be anyways the effectiveness of such a get? Generally, you say it's that he becomes forbidden in her relatives and she becomes forbidden in his relatives. But that's already the case once he gave chalitza. So what does that mean in the case of chalitza v'nos lo get? Now, that the Gemara responds, wait a second, according to your line of questioning, aim a sefer, look at the sefer. It says, regarding not when you're doing chalitza first, but bal. If the first thing you did with her was cohabitation, and then v'asa maimer, then in that same yavami went and did maimer, or bal v'nasa get, or if you first did bia with her, and then you give her a get, so that ein achar bia klum, there's nothing after bia, there's the halacha is you don't need anything more for this second thing that you're doing afterwards. So again, the Gemara answers to the one who's questioning and saying, look, the same question you have over here. We understand why it would be necessary to say the case when you do be with her and then you give her a get, to say that what that means is, because actually post that get, you don't need to do anything because that get actually removes you from that marriage that you had consummated with the bia, and that you don't need a chalitz over here, that because the first bia that you did with her removed the zika, it consummated it, so there's no more zika bonds. So now the get just removes you as a regular marriage. Now, although that might seem obvious, as we were saying, that you're not going to need anything after that get, but no, so good that I would have thought to say, nigzer get the basa be'ila, then maybe we should make a gzera. In this case, when you have a get after bia, then maybe it shouldn't be enough with that get to remove her from his marriage, which he consummated with the bia, without chalitza. Why? Because atu get the kamei be'ila, you might come to confuse it with a case of when you give a get before the bia, and that you shouldn't say that, oh, get works with the Yavama in place of Chalitza, as we see that this, we removed a woman that was a Yavama with just a get, where although after Bia, that is the halacha, but you might confuse it before Bia, and therefore we should always require a Chalitza when you're removing her with a get. That would be the chiddush that we don't make such a gzera. No, once you did Bia, like a full-fledged wife, and you know, if you give a get afterwards, you don't need anything more to and in the halachas of Zika. But even according to your line of questioning, what would be the necessity of saying the case of when you do bia and then you do mimer, what more would you be accomplishing with that mimer to say that, oh, the mimer is not doing anything? You already, mimer is a kedushin. You already did like almost nesuin with the bia. What would it say that the mimer is not affecting anything? Ella, rather, even according to you, you would have to say, I did the tana chalitz of asa mimer. Once we said the case of the reisha, meaning when you're doing chalitza, and then afterwards doing maimer, we're there, we said that that's necessary. As we said, because of maybe that if when you're doing maimer before chalitza, so we have to say the case of when you're doing maimer after chalitza. So taninami, bov asa maimer, so uniformity we kept in the sense of that we also said the case of bov achkach maimer, but not because that was necessary. And therefore that answers your question too. V'aydi deboi lemisni bov nasa get. Since we have to say the case in the Seifa, regarding when the first thing he did with this one yavam is doing beer first and then a get, as we just explained. So tananami chalitz of nasa get. So therefore, we also said because of that uniformity of saying chalitz of nasa get, even though it wasn't necessary, like we explained, and therefore that answered the question with another question by showing that only because the other case of chalitz or bia needs that case, so we kept those same variables in both of the cases. Now the Mishnah said bizman shehi b'chulu, that the Mishnah had a machlokes regarding if bia is the same as chalitza. That is, by chalitza we said it doesn't make a difference where it comes in the hierarchy of the four variables. There's nothing going to be after chalitza. It takes care. It ends the story. And whatever you're going to do post chalitza is not going to have an effect. But regarding bia, there was a machlokes if that's only if it's the first thing, or even if it's not the first thing, that in achar bia klum. So the Gemara says either one of those two opinions of our Mishnah. Either one must need in like Tana. Both of those opinions in our Mishnah is not like the following Tana. Tana like the Braisa. Abi Yosi ben Yochanan ishi Yerushalayim oimim mishum Remeir. He says achas beila v'achas chalitza, whether it's bia or chalitza, betchila in acharei klum. If it's the first thing being done, then there's nothing after that. But be'emtzu ubesoif yesh acharei klum. He holds that even by chalitza, if it's not the first thing, if let's say you first gave a get and then chalitza, or maimer then chalitza, then there are things that could take effect after the chalitza. Now, so the Gemara summarizes that and says, "B'shalosh machlekes," but it becomes that there's a three-way machlekes in this halacha: two in our Mishnah and one in this brisa. Tanakama, the Tanakama of our Mishnah that says the chalitza psula, even if it's deficient, that is, if it comes in the middle or the end, it's not the first thing. Did in acharei klom, but by bia psula, meaning a deficient bia, because it's you couldn't have done it in the rightful way, because let's say there was a get first, that there is going to be things after that. So Savar, he obviously holds that bia de ikala mixer by a bia, and we explained this already on Daf Nun Mabez, where there's room to make a gzera. And that is, we said that when you're doing bia after, let's say, a maimer or after a get, there's confusion that if we consider it as a full-fledged bia, that is, let's say, to remove it just with a get, we might come to confuse it when you're having bia after bia, or after chalitza, which that would be problematic, and you're not allowed to do that. So Gezrina there, as we explained in Daf Nun, we make gezeres even in the case of where bia really should work, but we say yesh acharei klum because we don't want people to think that, oh, bia works after a maimer, which is like a bia. So you could do bia achar bia, or bia works after get. Oh, so, which halachically it should be, but oh, then we'll think get is like a chalitza, so bia will work after chalitza, which it doesn't. That's a chiv alav. So we make a gezer over there, and we say yesh acharei klum. Whereas chalitza, the lekelemik, the chalitza, whereas we said there's no room to make gezeris, because what's going to happen? Chalitza chamaimer, chalitza as the Gemara that goes through and says there's no concerns over there. So like Gezer, we don't make such a gezer. That's the reasoning for the Tanakama's opinion, that they say, but chalitza doesn't make a difference where it is. Whereas by bia, since there's gezeris that we're concerned for, we say it's only if it's the first thing, but if it's not, then yesh acharei klum. Reb Nechemya, who he's quoted in our Mishnah, that he says that no, achazu v'achazu, whether the bia or the chalitza is going to be somewhere in the middle, that in acharei klum, sabah he holds, the bia nami like the mixer, he actually holds the concerns that are recorded on Daf Nun of the Tanakama, there's no reason for those gezeres. Now the Kamer, although you pointed out that ligzer bia achar get, that we should make a gzera by the case of when, if let's say get was done first, and then bia wasn't the first, when it was, let's say, in the middle, next thing you did was bia. Now, we said that if you're not going to require chalitza for that bia, which biblically you shouldn't, because what is a get already? And therefore, all you should need is a get for that bia and not a chalitza, but mishum bia achar chalitza, that you might come to confuse it with when you, like, get is somewhat like chalitza. And people are going to think, wait a second, I saw that was a good bia that was after get, because all he needed was get. And if it wasn't, you would need chalitza too. And then you might come to confuse it when you're doing bia after chalitza, meaning you might come to do yibam after chalitza, which is obviously a loisase in the Torah. And that is what Reb Nechemya responds to that, and he says, no, listen, you can't compare the two to make such a gzera. Because kiven the chalitza deraisa, since chalitza is biblical, made a yadi. People know that, of course, you can't do bia, you can't do yibm after chalitza. And therefore, there's no reason to make such a gzera when you see that you were able to have, on some level at least, but the avid of bia achar get. And so too, regarding your second taina, with the ka'amid, ligzer bia achar maimed this, that you said that you should make a gzera of that when, if we allowed bia to work, after Mimer, meaning when you give Mimer to one and Bia to another one, Mishum Bia Acher Bia, then you might come to confuse it when if let's say you did Bia with one, and because Mimer is just like Bia, it's working to mimic Hadashar, and then you might come to allow a Bia of one after the Bia of the other one, which that definitely is Aser. On that, he says, no, you can't compare. Kiven the Bia Deiraisa, since Bia is biblical, so how may the other? Everybody knows that you did Yim with one, of course you can't go ahead and do Yim with the other one. And therefore, there's no reason to make a gezerah to say that it's going to be aser. And that's why Reb Nechemya argues and he says that it doesn't make a difference where bia is, just like chalitza, einachar akum. There's no reason for these gezerahs that the Tanakhama holds of, as he just pointed out, because you can't confuse rabbinic law with biblical law. Now, Rabbi Yosef ben Chanan, who he says that whether yibm or chalitza, that yesh achar akum, if it's not the first thing, if it's in the middle of the end, as we explained in the brisa that he holds, that then it's going to be considered that yet that it's going to be deficient, that other things could take effect, is because Sava the Rabban, he holds like the Rabban, I mean like the Tanakama, the Gazri Bia, that by Bia, as the Tanakama pointed out, there's room to make these Gezeris, as we said, of Nunim Beis, whether, as we said, if it's Bia Achar Get, is because then you're going to have Bia Achar Chalitza, and obviously not have Bia after Chalitza, or the case of Bia Achar Maim, as we pointed out. Now, there, although you're right, inherently we said by chalitza there's no gzeres, but because of chalitza, mishum bia. They hold that, yes, by bia definitely it's going to be a problem that you make those gzeres. So, yesh achar bia klum. But they took it one step further than Tanakama. They said that since there's yesh achar klum by bia, we don't want to confuse it if we're going to say after chalitza, oh, it's final. We might come to think B is final, but if we think B is final, we're going to end up encountering those problematic gezeras. So therefore, because of that gezera, we went and we said the same thing would apply to chalitza, and therefore, yesh achar klum, not only by bia, but even by chalitza. And those are the three different opinions in the halacha of if there's going to be achar bia klum or not. Han melach rem gamliel, we shall return to you the fifth parak of Masechta Yevamos. Perek Gamliel, with that we begin the sixth Perek Masechta Yevamos, Perek Habal Yevimta, which the Mishnah opens up with the fulfillment of the mitzvahs of Yibam. So the Mishnah says, Habal Yevimta, if someone cohabits with his Yevama. Now, in all situations, whether it bein b'shoigig, whether it was inadvertent, what that means is, let's say he thought that it was his wife, or some other woman, he didn't know that this was a Yevama, so it was inadvertent. Or bein b'mezid, whether it was deliberate, what deliberate means to say, that deliberately he knew who she was, but he wasn't doing it for the mitzvah purpose. He was doing it for his nus, for promiscuity, and not to fulfill the mitzvah of Yibam. Or bein ba'aynis, or whether he was coerced into doing this. Or bein ba'ratzin, whether it was willingly. In all situations, and the Mishnah says even ma'afila, even, and the Gemara will explain what's this even if hu shagig v'him mezida, he's inadvertent, he doesn't even realize what's going on, and she's deliberate, meaning she's doing it l'shem his nus, or who makes it v'hishageges, or he's deliberate and she's inadvertent, or who honest v'hi lo yanusa, he's coerced and she's not coerced, or he anusa, she's coerced v'hu lo yanusa and he's not coerced. So in any one of these situations, or moreover, echad hama'ara, even if the yavim is only doing ha'ara, which is just doing the beginning process of cohabitation, not even concluding that process, or echad agayim, or whether one does a full bia. Either one, in all these situations, the halacha will be kana, he will have acquired her as a yavama, and then he thus inherits his brother's estate. And then if he wants to remove her, he doesn't need to do chalitza, he just has to go ahead and give her a get. Moreover, the Mishnah tells us, there's no difference between what type of cohabitation it is, whether it's bia cohabitation in the normal way, or whether it's in the unnatural way, meaning anal. Either one will be considered that there was a bia, hence a fulfillment of Yibam, and thus he can remove her with a get. Now the Mishnah tells us that although this was said, all these different variables which are considered a valid bia in the context of Yibam, v'chein the same halacha would apply in other areas of halacha. Habal achas mekala raisha b'tarif. If someone has relations with one of the forbidden arayas in the Torah. Now, and if he has any one of these different types, whether it was ba'inis or whether it was just ha'ara, just the beginning process, either one, or psulus, or whether in regards to halacha of women that are pasul to kahanim, for example, kugin almanu kohen gadol, a widow to a kohen gadol, a high priest, or grusha v'chlitza to a kohen hedjet, or a divorced woman, or a woman that had chalitza done to her to a kohen hedjet, or mamzeres of nesin liyisrael, a woman that is illegitimate to the Jewish people, or from the tribe of the Nesinim to a Yisrael, or Bas Yisrael, a Mamzul Nasan, or a Jewish woman to an illegitimate man and to a Nasan. Either way, whatever, if you have any one of these types of bias, Pesala, it invalidates her to Kahuna because she now is considered like a Zayna. Now, Rashi actually points out that obviously a Gerusha, it does not necessary to say she's Pasul to Kahuna because a divorcee is already Pasul to Kahuna. That would actually, when it says in their mission that Pesala would make her pasul from the truma of her father's household. That is, if let's say she was the daughter of a kohen who is permitted to eat truma, once one of these individuals goes ahead and has relations with her, it makes her into a halala, which thus desecrates her, and now she cannot have truma from her father's household. Now, however, that's Rashi says it's only if it's one of the arayas that has relations with her, or the ones that are psulis. But if it's just, let's say, a single a woman that's having znus, that actually would not make her into a zayna and would not invalidate her from kahuna, because we don't find any time a barring Rebbe Lazar that holds that a single man that has relations with a single woman out of wedlock will make her into a zayna. Well, however, here we're talking about that if an erva has relations with her, or one of these pesulais has relations with her, let's say a kohen hedyet with a grusha or a kohen gadol with an almana, even if it's coerced, all these different types of situations will go ahead and make her invalid. Same thing applies to a Jewish woman that has relations with a mamzer or a nasan, who again, they're pasul, and that's considered an erva, that will make her into pasul tikuna. Now Rashi points out that the case of a mamzeres and an asina, obviously when it says pasul la will invalidate, it's not going on her that will invalidate her from kuna, because a mamzeres and asina, obviously, I'm not a bas kain. They're already, even if a mamzeres was, they're already pasul from kuna anyway by virtue of being a mamzeres and asina. And therefore, what we're talking about over here is actually, it's in the context of the halacha of hara. That is, we're saying that if a Jewish man does even the beginning process of cohabitation, doesn't conclude that bia with a mamzeres and asina, he will get lashes as if he did a complete bia, gemar bia, and that's what the halacha of mamzeres and nesina liyisrael is, but not for pasala, because she's already pasal anyway. And the Mishnah concludes, again, v'lechilik ben bia labia, here also, we didn't make a differentiation between what type of cohabitation, they're all considered in that category of invalidating this woman from kahuna, again, if it's an ervo, or the psulis the kahuna, or regarding a Jewish woman from someone that's pasal tahar, be it a mamzer or a nasan. Now the Gemara asks, as we alluded in the Mishnah already, Maya Fila, when the Mishnah tells us that all these types of bias will be considered a valid bia for Yibam, Shaygig, Mezid, Aynis, Ratz, and Hara, it says, and even if you have him like this and she's like that. So the Gemara says, Loi Mibayi Kamem. It was telling us that Loi Mibayi Hu Shaygig, V'Yikimachavnil Mitzvah, that not only will we say that this will be a valid Yibam, if let's say he's inadvertent, he doesn't realize who she is, but she's at least intending for it to be the mitzvah. She's the Yavama, she knows who he is. Or Inami hu mezid viki mechavim mitzvah. Or let's say the other case, of where he's deliberate. He wants to have his nus with her. I don't want to take you as Yavama, but she's intending for it to work for the mitzvah. Not only over there will we say that will be a valid yibam, because at least somebody's intending for the mitzvah purpose. El afila, then the Mishnah continues that even if they're hushaygig, if let's say he is inadvertent, that is, he thinks she's, let's say, somebody else. Vehimazid, and she's deliberate, meaning she wants to just have a ma'isas nus with him. The tarvayu loy kemachav nusay mitzvah, where both of them are not intending for the being the mitzvah purpose. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah for lachikon. It doesn't make a difference what your intentions are. You're doing a ma'isah bia with the yavam and the yavama, even though they're both not intending for the mitzvah purpose. That will be a fulfillment in the kinyan of the mitzvah of yibam. Similarly, Tanya Reb Chiya in the Braisa, Chiya says a filish name shaygim, even if they're both inadvertent, they're both mixing up who each other are. Or Shnei Mezidin, they're both deliberate for, let's say, to be a Maisa's Nus. Shnei Manusim, even if they're both coerced, doesn't make a difference. Then they're both having a Maisa Biyah together. That will be a Kenyan of Yibam. Now, related to this part of Reb Chiya that we just quoted, the Gemara goes back to the Mishnah, and then it will come back to explain Reb Chiya. Anas demasnin hechadami. What exactly is the case of a Mishnah when it says that if the Yavam was coerced? What does it mean he was coerced to have bia, to have cohabitation with the Yavam? If you're saying that because there were idol worshippers, there were non-Jews that were compelling, forcing him to say, I don't care, you have to cohabit with this woman, and that he had relations, and that's what it means, that even though he was forced, it's considered a ma'aseh yibum. But Rama Rava Rava says, ain oinis la'erva, there's no such a concept of being coerced to having forbidden relations. And the reason is, lefishein kishui eladas, an erection could only happen willingly if the person wants it. You can't be forced. A person has to be submitting to that, and he has to create that, so that you can't say that you're forced into it, because no one can force you but yourself. So that can't be the case of oinis, because ultimately, if you submit to that, and you have kishui, so then you're doing it yourself, you're doing it l'ratzon. So ela b'yashin. What would you say the case is talking about? That he was sleeping, and during his sleep, he had an erection, and then the Yavam was born on him, and then he had a Maisa Bia. And that the Gemara says, but Vam Rabbi Huda says, so although that would be a case of being coerced, because he didn't do it willingly, but Rabbi Huda says, we continue to have a Nundalim and Aleph, Yashon Lekane B'Yavimtoi, someone sleeping cannot acquire his Yavama, because when you're sleeping, you're not a bardas. You don't have your intelligence there. And to have a Kenyan acquisition, you have to have das. So that can't be the case of what oinus is. So El Rav, the Gemara says, is Toma, where he had an erection for his wife on the roof, or some higher area. Then he fell off the roof, benitka, and then he got inserted into his Yavama. So it's talking about that he was coerced in the sense of this Maisabia with this Yavama, who he had no intention for, but of course the Kishri had to be that he created, but it's still a case of being coerced. On that the Gemara asked, but Vama Rabbi says, Nafa min agag v'nitka, that if someone falls off from the roof and he became inserted in another woman, so the halacha is chayv ba'bar dvam, so he's liable for the four requirements of when you damage somebody. In other words, for Nezik, for the damages that he incurred to this woman. The tsar, the pain that she had from this. The reaper, the medical bills that she has to do to heal from this injury. And Shevis, the loss of work that she had. As the Gemara says in Baba Kamad of Pehem and Beis, Petza Tacha Petza, which includes, even if it was inadvertently or deliberately or coerced, they all have a lacha, karatza, and you're liable on all these situations. However, actually, the fifth thing that's usually there, which is baishis, which is the embarrassment cause, that doesn't apply, as the Gemara will explain later on. Now, however, the main point of this is, but ubeyivim toloi kana, there Rabbi tells us clearly that, and you do not acquire your yavam in that type of situation, because you had no intention for a maisa bia. So although that there was an erection, but the fact that you fall down, you get inserted into the yavama, should not be a case of where you are kinda in the case of einus. So Ella, the Gemara says, k'gayin sh'niskaven le'ishtek. Allah has told me where this man had an intention for his wife, and he had a kisha, he had an erection for her. Now then, v'takfasa yavimtai, his yavama grabbed him, uval leha, and then he cohabited with her, where there was kavana for bia. Although it was against his will that he was coerced, that his yavama grabbed him. However, that will be a case of oinis, and therefore there was das, and you have all the variables necessary to create it into a ma'aseh yibum. Now the Gemara concludes, however, shneim anusim debeir p'chiyah hechadami. So what's the case of when, if you just said that's the case of anusa of our Mishnah, where at least she was intending for it, she forced him, although it was against his will, what would be the case of when they were both coerced? The Gemara says, k'gayin sh'niskaven le'ishtei, when he had intentions for his wife, so thus, kishoy is only das, so he created that erection. But then v'takfu evdekechavim, then non-Jews went and grabbed both the Yavam and the Yavama, v'davkum zebazelbala, and attached them, and thus creating a maitza bia of cohabitation, and that's how you have that both of them were coerced, although we said that how can you have coerced when you have non-Jews, if the kisha has to be ladas, is that he did create the kisha, but it was for the intention of his wife, then they went and put them together. That's a case of shnei manusim, where ultimately Reb Chiya says, doesn't make a difference that it was an einus, since that ultimately was a maisa yibum, it was a maisa bia, that will be a fulfillment of yibum, and therefore, again, all he would need if he wants to remove her would be just a get.